think it's a society, not in fact the veil, but society still hasn't accepted.
So the excuses that they'll use are viewers or readers just won't know how to react, or in that that's how they'll be justifying it in their media meetings.
Yeah.
It's like, well, they wouldn't really get it, or she seems, yeah, or the message she's giving now is different. But this isn't the message. The message is still coming from here,
yeah,
and from here, and from here.
That's true.
So why are you deciding this is the message?
Yeah.
That's your religious hatred. That's your religious prejudice. Yeah. That is not me. I'm not coming on and preaching. I'm doing the same job I was doing last week,
yeah,
or I would if you gave me the chance. But this image will stop you working, I'm afraid. But it might, maybe you just decide that that work, Allah will decide that work's not the work that's worth having.
Definitely.
And the doors that open will be the ones that are right and are best. But yeah, I'm afraid there's prejudice in this country, and I'm witnessing it.
Definitely true. I mean, just you saying that reminds me of when I was seeking work in the mainstream media. It's difficult with a headscarf on. You know, a lot of people think that you're not capable, but I think it's time to prove that, Muslim females.
You know, I'm not sure. I think you, it's clear that we're young women like yourself are really bright and engaged and winning places at university and in media organisations. It's not for you to prove. There's something else at work here, because there's two views now of modest young women, and that is, one, they're either defined by the men in their family and they're rather sheepish and shy, because you're not like this with your hair out and your breasts out and pleasing men.
Mm.
The other is that you're a militant, and you may just be secretly in your heart a terrorist, and therefore you're a threat to the organisation. So you, as a young Muslim woman, have got a double tier of prejudice to overcome.
Yeah, definitely true. So how can young females, you know, tackle this? How can they go? What advice would you give them?
You know, I think if... Well, the first thing is, people may come up to you in the street and say, why do you wear that? And I'm sure that probably feels like you're being aggressed. Like, why are you asking such a stupid question? Because you know, because you've discussed this and you've lived with this. I would say to young Muslim, all Muslim women, if people come up to you in the British street and say, why are you wearing that? Because they want to know. These people are already open and are thinking, we don't get the full story. Let us speak to this woman and ask her. And by meeting that with a smile and with your confidence, that one conversation can change everything. Because then they'll go, well, do you go to university? Yeah, and I came from the top of my class and I'm studying nuclear physics and science and media studies and da-da. And they'll go, blimey, oh, okay. And then they have other questions. So please be open and understand that not all British people who seem to come over aggressively are being aggressive, they're just confused. So that's a good way to spread the message. And then, you know what? Go to the meet, go to the interviews. You know, you might think I'm not going to get it with X, Y, and Z because they're right wing. But by going and speaking, you may just chat. You might. You might meet a woman there who's completely changed by it, by your openness and your wisdom and your talent.
Yeah.
So keep being confident. Keep being educated. Keep being in our society. Keep being open to questions. And people like me will be reached.
I wanted to ask, because when I heard of your story, I mean, the video that's posted on YouTube of your live conversion, one video reached over 78,000 hits, and, you know, there's more videos as well. And one thing when you announced it is you mentioned about the Matsuma Shrine, and many females like myself were very, very, you know, were very touched by this and very, you know, it was an inspirational story to hear. And I feel like in Islam, many people think that Islamic history, that it honours men and it lowers females. And then when you mentioned the Matsuma Shrine, it just showed that there are females honoured in Islam. I mean, what can you just speak more about that, like your experience in the Matsuma Shrine? And yeah.
Let me say first that I still don't know enough about the women in Islam, because my conversion isn't one of learning and academia and scholastic learning, which I wish it was, because I know nothing. It was really bolt of lightning, awakening, heart and spirit, aware that something else, a veil was ripped away and I had no choice in the nicest possible way but to convert. So I still don't know about the great women of Islam, and I'm sorry for that. But am I very pleased and proud that Fatima Mazuma helped me to awaken to Allah? Yeah, I'm really pleased that could be talked about. What happened in the shrine was I joined many other pilgrims, and like many other pilgrims before me, felt an intense feeling of tranquility, connectedness to the women there, at oneness and hope.
Wow, that's amazing. But like I said, your story, it just opened up that even people started questioning, they're like, who's Fatima Masuma? Yeah. And it brought the female role models in Islam to the table, which you're probably not conscious of that, but it did, definitely did. But, you know, your conversion story, and what impact do you think your conversion story and others like you would have on society? I mean, people see a career woman converting and they're like, wow, she's successful, she's a journalist, she's an English broadcaster and she's converting. Do you think that will impact people's thoughts on Islam?
Yeah, I think once the initial, you know, the two sides, the pretend shock horror side and the patronising side, because there's a revulsion. A lot of the Western journalists ask things like, so were you looking for something, as if you're a bit thick or as if you're having a midlife crisis?
Oh my God, yeah.
Because the only way you go to Islam is if you had a midlife crisis and you've lost your faculties of logic, dear. And the other side, oh my God, she was always a militant anyway. Of course she's going to go to her.
Oh my God.
So, but once the dust settles around that, and the real debates, which are about women's place in our non-Muslim society, start to come out, what I would say is look at your society and see how you treat women. That two women a week are killed in the UK and this is allowed to happen by husbands and partners. This isn't Muslims doing this, this is us, them. That women, we have the lowest conviction rate for rape in Europe. That's our society who's supposed to care about women. Can we look at that, please? Can we get angry about that abuse of women?
Definitely. I mean, I feel like sometimes it's what you're unfamiliar with that people don't understand. I mean, they're unfamiliar with women, but like you said, I mean, rape statistics, and even in the UK, I heard, you know, women are still not paid as much as men.
16% less, even in the UK. So all women have battles to see that we're respected, because you know what, men are imperfect and we're imperfect as well, but in a different way. We don't seek to possess or own or hold power over things in that way. And let us all be guided by Allah and just seek to elevate women to their proper role in all our societies.
Definitely, mashallah. You know, I was even watching your interview on the BBC and you talked roughly about the veil as well. But in general, in, you know, in response to the media and in response of people that think that women are oppressed or Muslim women are oppressed by Islam, not culture, but by Islam, what would your response be in general to those who really believe this is true?
Well, look, I'd say then the first thing you should really do is make sure you've met a dozen Muslim women in your life before you form any opinion. Because if you meet a dozen Muslim women, you'll have a dozen reasons for wearing the veil and a dozen ways of wearing the veil and a dozen ways of being a Muslim. Because there are plenty of Muslim women watching this who go out bareheaded, and mashallah, that's your choice between you and your God. And may we all find peace in the way we dress, because it's about humility and however you find that. But what you won't be doing is trying to please men before trying to please God. And this is what our society, which is actually very misogynistic, because we're all trying to be men in the West.
Yeah.
If we're not trying to be men, we're trying to please men. This is not female emancipation. This is female subjugation. And I feel freer like this to speak and to work with my face and my heart and my mind than I did before, because the other stuff's distractions.
Definitely, yeah. No, I mean, I used to read about your work before you converted to Islam, and now meeting you is like, I'm actually feeling who you are, and I'm, you know, I get your mindset, how you are, rather than looking of how you look like, or, you know, it shows me as well that how it's like. But in the last point of view, how have people perceived you when you put on the headscarf? I mean, have people's reaction been negative, or have people said, you know, why would you do this? How has people reacted towards you?
My mother was funny. She said, I told her I was thinking of converting to Islam, and I told her about the experience of tranquility and peace and how happy it was making me. And she cried and said, I'm so proud of you. I'm so, wow, you've been really touched by God. And then the next week I saw her and I had a scarf and she said, why are you wearing the scarf? I said, I've converted to Islam. She said, Islam? I thought you said Buddhism, those nutters.
Oh, really?
She's got a lot better now
Yeah.
because she sees every week how my children and I are happy and how I'm calm and how the bad habits that were in my society before and in my life have now gone. So she's much happier. That's important, you know. Yeah. She's very supportive. And in fact, my dear younger brother-in-law, he said, I've just thought at Christmas we're going to be having turkey and you only eat halal. And I said, don't worry, I'll get myself a small piece of halal chicken. He said, no, the whole family will have halal turkey at Christmas.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really lovely. And I don't know if you mind me asking, but how have Tony Blair or your half-sister, reacted to this? Have they spoken to you about your conversion?
I haven't spoken to Tony Blair, but he runs an interfaith foundation, so he recognises the right of all people to recognise their God and be recognised by their God, so he should be, I'm sure, accepting of that. Cherie gave a really wonderful speech recently at a women's conference in Spain, I think, saying, really, word for word, what I can see as well, which is that the hijab does not stop a woman getting an education. Allah does not stop a woman getting an education. It is not Islam that stops a woman being educated or free to live a happy life. And we must respect her right to choose what she wears.
Definitely. Wow, that's amazing to hear.
That's great.
Yeah. Definitely. And the last note, I mean, what advice would you give to all the Muslim females out there? I mean, now you've become a Muslim female and you are a successful Muslim female, shall we say. So what advice would you give?
Dress the way you already dress with pride, and at the same time, and what by pride I mean, you carry a lightness and a light within you because of the Islam that you carry inside. And don't be put off if some people are scared by what you wear or misunderstanding. Just again, meet all the questions with openness, and Allah will guide you to what you're looking for.
Definitely. I mean, I think that's great advice. And thank you so much for doing this interview today. I mean, many people at home, I know the people have told me to interview you, and now I did about this topic. I mean, you do represent them as a female, and I think it's great. And inshallah, more people will see the true Muslim female.
Can I just say that lots of young women have been coming up to me, like when I'm shopping in Wood Green and places keep coming up. It's so nice to meet everyone.
Really?
Yeah, it's really great. Come on over, say hi, meet my kids. It's just so nice to be in your community, because I'm going through so many rapid changes in myself and in my personality. And there's a lot of kind of cleansing and changes. So it's really nice to know that you're all there. So thank you.
Definitely. Thank you very much. It seemed obvious that after meeting Lauren Booth, and despite the negative media attention and the misrepresentation of female Muslims, one fact stands clear, and that is the hijab empowers a woman and elevates her.
There are two assumptions. One is that all Muslim women are trying to be saved from this evil life that's been given them through Islam and through their evil Islamic husbands. And the second is that wearing a veil is something that women should never have to do. Well, choosing to cover my hair just for modesty reasons and understanding that women are happy in Islam, that's seen as a betrayal. So there's a lot of anger coming towards me.
And it seems obvious that the words of Lauren Booth will be a proof to show that the hijab is not a prevention, but in fact many successful career women voluntarily choose to wear the hijab for obvious reasons.
Ahlul Bayt TV, the holy household for every household.